Hey guys, I'm Zach, and I'm going to talk today about Pararules, which is my rules engine for NIM. It actually was my first NIM project that I started in early 2020 and continues to be one of the projects I'm most proud of. I think it's a state-of-the-art rules engine. I would stack it up against anything out there right now in terms of usability and performance. And a lot of people don't realize that they need a rules engine. Maybe you're one of them, so maybe I can convince you to try it. So, my way of thinking about rules from just a layman's perspective is I think of them as reactive functions that run automatically when their inputs update, rather than functions that you call explicitly. And it's a very powerful concept and not a new one either. It's been around for a very, very long time. And the easiest way to understand it is just to look at an example where we compare it with how you would normally write your code. So I'll start with an example where I'm making a game. And I use games a lot in my examples. Because it's a hobby of mine, but this is not only for game development. Game development was the original reason that I made Pararules, and I think it's the first rules engine ever made for games. I've never seen people make games this way, but as you'll see, I'll show some examples that involve other things too. So it's really widely applicable, but. If you're making a game, let's say you want to do it in a really naive way and you're not using any kind of complex state management, one way you might do it is just make a big state object and just throw everything in there. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with that. In a smaller game, just do what makes sense to you. So in this case, maybe I have a big state object and I have a function here that updates the player's damage. And in this case, it's a really basic calculation. I just grab the weapon that the player is equipped with. I look at the damage in that, and then I multiply it by the player's strength, and I get the player's overall damage. And I like to call these particular things basically derived values. And our programs are full of these, like values that are derived from other values in our state. And it's also a common source of bugs because these things, you sometimes forget to update them when their dependent values change. So, like for example, if the player equips a new weapon, well, this value might change. Or if the player levels up and the strength increases, this value is going to change. In both cases, you need to make sure to run this function, but you might not remember to. They might be in different parts of your code base or whatever. This is a common problem, and this is exactly the kind of situation where you want to just have your values update automatically. So if I were to write this using a rule, I would probably do it something like this. So we have a rule here, and the first part of it is your what block, and that basically says what the inputs are for the rule. And the then block is just any arbitrary code that you want to run when the rule fires. So the what block, it always receives the data in these tuples that have three things in it: ID, attribute, value. And it's always those three things: ID, attribute, value. And this way of organizing data, you're going to find it everywhere. It's a very enduring, timeless way of organizing data. Sometimes they're called EAV tuples or entity attribute value. It's the same thing. And it's basically like pulling your data apart into these nice decoupled little pieces so that you can bring them into your rules individually. And so the weapon ID right here it represents the weapon that the player equipped. And then you have the player strength, and then you have the damage of the weapon. And any symbol here that starts with a lowercase letter is a bounded symbol, meaning it's it's being bound to whatever value is in that tuple. and then it will be available down here for you to use. Whereas if it starts with uppercase letter, then it's just an enum value. It's just a literal enum value. So, and the last point about the what block is if you see a symbol occurring more than once, then the rules engine is going to ensure that they're the same. So it's like kind of like a join in SQL. So I'm using player ID twice here. So it's going to ensure that both of these facts have the same player ID. And you can see that I have weapon ID right here as well as here. Same thing. It's going to ensure that those two values are the same. So when all of this data arrives at the rule, they're going to match. So this weapon ID is going to match this. So I'll have the correct damage value. So these joins that you're doing here are the way that you represent complex hierarchical data. Whereas up here, you can see we're just using a typical nested object to do that. And for a small game, that's fine. But these big object hierarchies, they can get really unwieldy and inflexible as your program gets bigger. This is why people use entity component systems, by the way, one of the reasons, because they really help to decouple your data and just treat each piece of data as a separate thing that can be mixed and matched with everything else. Pararules does the same thing. Okay, it pulls your data apart into these entity attribute value tuples so that you can mix and match them in your what blocks. So it has the same advantage that ECSs have. Now, one of the big advantages though with a rule is you're going to start to notice this as you update your code later on. Because let's say, for example, you want to make this a little more complicated. You want to introduce the idea of fatigue. Your player is getting tired and you want to subtract that from the strength. So you might do this. You might say, this player now has a fatigue value and I'm going to subtract it from there. But now you have to make sure update damage runs when fatigue updates too. So you have potentially three different parts of your code base updating these three values, and you need to make sure update damage runs after all of them. So you can see how your program gets bigger, the need for this automatic reactivity is even greater. Whereas down here, all I had to do was introduce a new tuple with player fatigue, and I know for sure this rule is going to run when anything here updates. If the player equips a new weapon, the player levels up, the player gets tired, doesn't matter. This rule will fire if any of these tuples update, and then of course it will update the player damage. So as your program gets bigger, the advantage of rules starts to increase as well. So that's just some of the advantages of rules. They run automatically. They're self-documenting. I didn't even mention that, but I mean, look at the what block here. I mean, you look at it and you immediately know what data this rule is reacting to and what it's receiving, because this is the only data it has access to. That's not really true of this function, right? It receives the entire state object. You don't know what it's reading out of that. You have to read the whole function to find out. Whereas with rules, it's very specific what data each rule has access to. And you can reason about them in isolation. You don't really have to think about when it's going to run. It's going to run whenever these things update. So it's much easier to reason about each rule as an isolated unit and not think about anything else. And flattening the data, that just means what I was talking about, decoupling the data into these little tuples. You're gonna find this is so nice, especially as your program gets bigger. So, it's something that people have already noticed using ECSs, but you have the same advantage here. So this is another example, not a game, but just a to-do list. And this is how you would set it up initially with pararules. You create a schema, which is basically a macro that generates a type for you that can hold all the different pieces of data that you need to store. So in this case, with a to-do, I just need to store the text as well as a Boolean saying if it's done or not. And then I create my rules, and for now I'm just creating one rule, which is called to-do, and it just receives these tuples in the what block. And notice there's no then block, which is kind of weird, right? It's not even doing anything when it receives the data. And this is an interesting point. A then block is actually not even necessary. If you just want to use this as a really convenient way of storing data, you can do that. And you don't even really need to use it as a reactive system right now. I have one rule here, and all it's doing is receiving data. And so I initiate my session down here, and then I start adding data. And this is what it looks like when you add the data. So in this case, I'm just adding a couple to-dos. And once again, we're inserting them as separate little tuples, right? The text, the done value, text, done value. And then I have this function called query all, which receives the rule. So that's this thing right here.